Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Game time goal. Get it. You might wind up going to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50. It's not that far away. Hey, look who's here in Studio 66. Maximum strength. Oh, look who's behind the glass on his A game. It's Black Tie. But joining me in Studio 66... from the Pittsburgh Steelers, 12 years, wearing the number 24. It's Ike Taylor. What's the poop, fella?
You stink.
I stink?
Yeah.
What does that mean, I stink? Physically?
Yeah, you don't smell good right now. For real. I don't know what it is coming from over there, but you stink.
I have a smell to me? Like what?
You smell like success.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't know, that's a bad start. I don't know where we go from here. I don't even know how to smell like success. Oh, okay, all right. Next up. From the Jacksonville Jaguars, and one season wearing the silver and black. Didn't go so well for his beloved silver and black on Sunday when they paid a visit to Heinz Field. It's Maurice Jones-Drew. What's the poop with you, fella?
You know what? Just trying to find a way.
So far, you're doing it.
Both of my teams lost on Sunday.
Yeah, but on Saturday, your team did win.
And on Friday. So we'll see how it goes.
If you had to choose, MJD, who would you, each week, you can only have one team win. Is it the Bruins, UCLA Bruins? Is that more important to you than either of your pro football teams?
Yeah. I just have more of a, you know, when you go to college, you know how it is. College is just different. It's like, that's you. You chose to go there. That's the place that, you know, I just fell in love with.
I find that pro football players seem to care more about their college team than they do their pro team, which may not be politically correct to say on an NFL podcast, but there are a lot of guys care more. And in fact, I've talked to Darrell Revis, who grew up in Aliquippa outside of Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's right. That's where Mike Ditka's from, Tony Dorsett, my mother, all from Beaver County, Ty Law. Yeah, that's right. And Darrell Revis tried to talk to him about the Jets. He was all right about that. Cared more about Pitt football. Brought up the quips to him. Oh, 15 minutes on him. He loves talking. And Joe Namath, same thing. Loves talking about Beaver.
That's me, man.
Beaver High.
De La Salle High School, there's nothing like it. I almost cried when I got inducted.
Did you?
So much going on.
Is that on video?
There is video. I just got choked up. I tried to cry. I told you the doctor took that bone out. I don't know where. I don't know why he did it.
Buried it.
I tried. I tried to cry. I couldn't talk though. I was all choked up.
Can I tell you something? I have a little surprise for you today. We're gonna try in Studio 66. We're gonna try a little of one of our favorite segments here. Sample little Dear Ikey. That can be a tearjerker for people. Ooh. MJD, you might ask a relationship question. Who knows? Maybe the waterworks will turn back on when Dear Ikey gets through with you. Coming up, not just Dear Ikey. You know, the Final Four in college football is now out, or at least the updated version of it. Well, I want to talk. We can get into that maybe even a little bit, too. You guys like talking college ball.
No question. Love college.
We can also talk some pro ball. Who's going to be in the NFL Final Four when it's all said and done? And then also a whole bunch of other stuff from Week 9. It was really a fascinating week, as usual. Ike, MJD, me, the rest of the gang gathered on Sunday. You should be tuning in every Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, through the completion of the late afternoon games. We get together and we watch all the games, all the highlights, all the fantasy implications, news and otherwise, and you can sit and watch it with us. Go to NFL.com, look for NFL Now, and there you'll see us sitting there watching the games. Mm-mm. And like I say, knowing the referees, this is something that I've been considering lately. Yeah, work in the refs, you know.
It definitely is.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that.
Look how you doing.
No, I told him. I was like, bro, keep holding me, and if you don't throw this flag, I'm gonna jump on your back. he was like, well, I'm this tall, and I'm like, I don't care, I got bounce.
MJD and Ike, I'm not surprised to hear that you're good at the psychological game of working the ref a little bit and what you know about that. So we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, if you were lucid for Week 9 the past weekend, or even if you weren't, I'm sure you've heard about all the big storylines. We're gonna dig in to those. And first of all, maybe the big one, Deion Lewis lost for the season, but of course, Ben Roethlisberger hurt again. The Steelers survived that one. And, you know, some of the DDFP listeners will say when Ike and I get together, you guys love talking about the Steelers. Well, listen, the Steelers are a popular team, and they're a relevant team, and they have a lot of stars. That's why we talk about it. But the guy who just took over for 26 in the backfield, D'Angelo Williams, scored not once, but twice, and I want to show it to you for a reason here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Show us D'Angelo Williams getting into the end zone there, if you wouldn't mind. So D'Angelo gets into the end zone, and then he does a little bow there.
Right.
Was that... Now, I remember somebody else taking a bow when he used to get into the end zone. How did that make you feel, Maurice Jones-Drew, creator of the bow after touchdown?
You know, at first I was hurt. I'm not going to lie, it hurt me.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is ask. You know, the worst I could say, Ike, is no.
You could say, yeah, you could have said to Ike, hey, can you be the conduit to the Steeler locker room and convey a message if, you know, if you're interested in that? You know, D'Angelo could have done that with Ike and said, can you drop a line to your friend Maurice for me?
Yeah, I'll holler at D. It'd be like,
I mean, that's my dog, but don't, you know.
My boy MJD said, man, just no disrespect, but just give him a shout out.
Just be like, hey, man, you know, just try to pay homage to my guy. Pour something out for me. We ain't playing no more. He ain't pouring nothing out. Just didn't even throw a nod or nothing. It's unbelievable.
I know. And he's a man of honor, too. So I was surprised by that. But, yeah, maybe I can clear this up. See, that's what we need to do with this show. You have the link to him. And we're looking at Maurice run free.
Check him out.
Back in his play.
No, he did.
He's somersaulting into the end zone.
Your land game was...
Watch it.
Let's see. The same. I mean,
I
really.
I told you. That was 07. You got to do double bow. Yeah.
Can't you and then say, though, can't you make your, isn't your glass, you if you want to look at it glass half full, couldn't you say D'Angelo is a huge fan of MJD? And
fans of each other, to be honest with you. The way he's playing now is amazing. Mm-hmm. I just text me. He got my number.
I hear you. Now, Ike, I can't remember. You've gotten into the... You did get into the end zone, what, twice in the NFL?
St. Louis game.
We have to dig up what you did. What was your celebration? Were you surprised by being in there?
I didn't celebrate.
Not at all.
I was surprised. I was like, I've been supposed to get in the paint. I just ain't catching enough balls.
Look who's Barry Sanders. Look who's now all of a sudden. I'm going to act like I've been here before.
Yeah, I just hand the ball to the ref, high five my dudes, but... The afterlife after that touchdown was something special.
NFL Now Live, all through the week, these guys are chopping it up. And I saw a little something of you guys on Monday talking about who's getting to the playoffs. That Raiders and Steelers game, as I said, for a week was very big, I would think at least. But with Roethlisberger going down, we're going to chop it up and see who you guys think is going to survive and get to the postseason. And like I say, talk about at least who's going to get to the Final Four. In the meantime... MJD, when you were in Jacksonville, you were joined by a first-round draft pick out of Missouri, Missouri in the news, and that's a great story, by the way, that student body was able to do what they were able to do. Power to the people, y'all.
That's right.
You know? That's what you can do. 21st century kids have gotten sideways, and as a society, I don't mean to get up on a pulpit here or get up on Mount Pius, but I want to say, I feel like in
Vent.
The... What's that?
Well,
I just feel this. Twitter and social media has created the sense now for people that I can weigh in on a political matter, something that's important to me. If I write 140 characters, well, now I've taken a stand on something. It's like, sending a tweet ain't the equivalent of hitting the streets and really doing something important. So good for those people, for those kids at Missouri doing what they did. Either way, Blaine Gabbert.
Ah, my guy.
Was a student there. He was a Mizzou Tiger at one point. Then he joined you, and it didn't work out for him in Jacksonville. And people laughed and laughed. Colin Kaepernick taking the bench. First, I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, I said Blaine Gabbert's Niners would win that game, and so they did. In fact, I gave the exact stat line. 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, 1 upset victory. But MJD, you're very proud, and I'm happy for you because that's your guy, and you touted him quite a bit in the 7 days leading up.
You know what? To be honest with people, we had a really bad situation when he was drafted there. I mean, it wasn't a really good situation. So he got a chance to be, even though the receivers here aren't the best, he got a chance to be comfortable in an offense, make some plays. You see he's athletic. He can get the ball to receivers and get it to him quickly. I mean, the guy made some great throws, man. And then he took that hit. Remember he took that hit? And then Bucky won't start hating because, you know, Bucky's a hater.
Bucky Brooks denounced him throughout that game.
He stood
by him, and he kept making the plays. And listen, he didn't put up Dan Marino circa 1984 numbers.
No need.
Nevertheless, the victory was his, and good for him and Blaine Gabbert. The thing, though, that we talked about, and I was right. You, MJD, you, Ike Taylor, and Bucky Brooks all ganged up on me and said, Dave, that's why you're not in the, that's why you're not an NFL player or coach. That's why you talk about it. With 3 minutes to go in the game, fourth and goal from the 2 yard line, the Atlanta Falcons down 17-13 to the bum Niners. 17-13. You have Matt Ryan as your QB. You have perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL, or at least a top three or four in Julio Jones. Your best running back, or one of the best running backs in the league in Devonta Freeman.
Yeah.
And on fourth and goal at the two, they kick a field goal to make it 17-16 and put all the pressure on the defense, which is junk. Are any of their best players on that defense?
But you're looking at pressure, and you're saying the defense is not that good.
Yes.
It was 13 points. You know what I'm saying? It's 17-13. That's a low-scoring game these days, right? So what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm going to kick three, and hopefully my defense can stop them because that's what my defense has been doing this whole game. So now all of a sudden it's fourth. Are we looking at the score and the situation, or are you just saying because you feel like they should have went for it on fourth and two, they should have done this instead. They should have went all in?
Yes.
How?
That's right. Because I'll tell you why.
It was already tough. It was already tough for them to go all in. So they're looking at field position.
And then, listen, there are 3 minutes to go.
Right.
They're down four.
Right.
Who are their three best players on the entire roster? I think you might make a case that it's Matt Ryan, Devonta Freeman, and Julio Jones. Yeah. You have to make 2 yards. Isn't that a better bet than, say, to a defense that, again, has none of your best players on it?
Best players have nothing to do with situation.
What do you mean has nothing to do with
it? It's 17-13.
Right.
That's a low-scoring game. So situationally has nothing to do with that situation. Man, I'm going to kick this ball. I'm going to go for the three. I'm going to kick this ball. My defense going to get the ball back, hopefully. But it just didn't. It's just like it's 50-50.
Hopefully, but it's not 50-50.
It's 50-50 because if they go on fourth and two and they don't get it, then what?
Then you leave at worst then. First of all, again, you're asking your defense, which is not very good, allow a first down. Because if you allow a first down, game's over.
But it's the same thing on fourth and if you're backed up on your 2 yard line, your defense is not good. What if they went for a bomb and he caught it and scored?
Then what? We're going to what if the whole day.
Yeah. It's a lot of things.
Because, again, I'm betting on my best players. That's the difference. If you play action to Devonta Freeman from the 2 yard line and roll Ryan out and give him a pass option to Julio Jones and let him run it in, that's not a better bet than say, hey bum defense, stop somebody here.
MJD, watch this. His best players had 13 points.
Yeah.
I hear that. Yeah, I got you.
His best players had 13 points.
And Matt Ryan was off this week.
He's been off for five weeks now. What about you guys always talk about?
My best players got 13 points.
But you always say, Ike, that Coach Tomlin believes in his
guys. Coach Tomlin is not in Atlanta.
I get it, but isn't that the point, that machismo has to rise up and say, listen, fellas, we haven't been playing good ball, but it changes now. And it changes with Matt Ryan giving the ball.
Like, next time I get in this Baltimore situation, man, Le'Veon getting this ball. I don't know if Atlanta was in that kind of situation.
Don't you have to show faith in your guys, though,
Shaq, because when you're on the road and you're on a two-game skid like they were, you have to do something to make a play to try to put this game out of reach.
Right.
You can never let a team that's down hang around. And so Atlanta did that. But at the same time, I mean, your defense has been playing well all game. To be honest with you, you gave up two touchdowns. Okay, you had two picks.
Yeah.
Right? You're stripping the ball from them. You made them punt a bunch. Just at the end of the game, man, Blaine Gabbert, you know, he just wanted
it. What I think we've learned
is that
Damashek does, in fact, belong on an NFL sideline with a headset,
if you please.
I think I would be very good at that.
Nah, it's too much pressure for you.
It's not too much pressure.
He'll be sweating. You know,
he'll be stinking.
Is that what you smell? Do you think? Is that the kind of smell
you're getting? You know, Akbar has a shirt. You know, Akbar Bijamajamila has a shirt.
I think that's his name.
That has, like, pads right here, so it won't sweat through your shirt. You should talk to him about it.
But I'm going to let it go and we'll move on. But really, don't you, MJD, you were the star of your team. Doesn't that matter? My coach doesn't believe it happened to me. If I'm Devonta Freeman or Julio Jones or Matt Ryan,
13 points.
I would say, you know what? But it's winning time.
That happened to us in the week that Jack Del Rio got fired. We had fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. Or we had first and goal on the one, and I didn't touch the ball once. And we ended up losing the game. And it hurt because I was like, dang, like I thought, you at least let me touch this thing one time.
Yes.
I got us down to the one, but just never got
out. I think it shows a lack of confidence, and I'm not making too big a deal. This team is struggling. This was a chance. If they win, if you give it to 24 to Freeman and he runs it in, or Julio catches a touchdown, that turns the season around. We got the faith of the coach now.
I don't care who's the head coach. Around this time for the Falcons, they tend to slide down for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I think you know why.
Around this time,
Wearing number two.
Matty Ice?
They just get to sliding down. Like, they start off hot, and they'll just slide down for some reason. For some reason, man, they'll slide down. With all the good perimeter guys and Devontae Freeman in the back, they just can't close out a season.
I think next year will be their year when they can add a couple more defensive pieces. In the meantime, let's talk about, behind the glass there, black tie and MVP, weigh in. I was right. I win that argument.
Well, I would say, yeah, you know what? I sort of agree
black
with you.
Black tie, no one cares what you have to say.
I'm just mad because I beat him in Madden. But I would say this, though. Isn't it easier to score from the two-yard line?
2 yards! You're asking these world-class guys to make 2 yards.
It's harder black to tie. Score the closer you
now,
get
y'all
to
y'all talking about their three best players on offense, right?
Yeah.
How many points they had at the time?
I understand what you're saying, but up to that point, it's like, hey, we got 2 yards to score a touchdown, or we're gonna go.
Okay, we're done
goal.
Hearing your voice, Emma.
Play
go ahead,
and get the ball back. I don't know. It's crazy.
Emma, do you have something to say? Because he's just talking crazy.
Emma says
things.
No, you can't be because Dave's here. You can't just say that. That's not gonna. That's not gonna bump you up.
You can speak your mind if you want to.
MJD was mad because he went for it against me in Madden and got the work.
One of those guys that they talk about. You know when you watch games on TV, they always talk about he's got a high football IQ. That's Damashek, yeah.
Hey, 4th-and-2 is.
Listen, I'm going to tell
you. I don't think it's a gimme. I didn't say it's a gimme, but it's a better gamble.
Remember when I told
your
Bucky,
bum defense has to stop it. If they allow a first down, game's over, and that's what happens.
2 yards is a long way when you're on that goal line. Because you only can run so many passes. There's only 12 yards. You only have 12 yards of depth.
I hear you.
To score.
But you know what always works? What do I always say? Always works. Naked bootleg. Naked bootleg near the goal line is an unstoppable play.
It's that chess match. Because if we all out blitz and you try that naked bootleg, by the time he turns his back around, they're going to kiss him.
Who?
They're going to kiss him.
He'll get kissed by multiple people, too. He might get mono.
He's going to think he's in France.
You think Jimmy Tomsula's pulling the trigger on the all-out blitz there on 4th-and-goal from the 2?
That's how I'm looking at it. You going all out. So you going for it on 4th-and-2? I'm going all out there.
I like it. Listen, football is a game for men, is it not? Is this what you do?
When
the name of machismo.
When he get mad, he look at that side like, football is a game. Football is a game.
Now the other element is you can't just be all brawn and no brain out there, and that's why I wanted to talk about referees and working the refs a little bit here. First question is though, what kind of human being would want to be a referee?
I would.
That's six figures.
You'd want to be a ref?
Yeah, no
what
question.
Kind of, can you imagine growing up? Oh, I want to. When I grow up, I want to be in the NBA. Oh, I'd like to be a doctor. Oh, I'll be a fireman. Oh, I'd like to lord rules over other people. Who wants that?
Well, you know, most of those guys are like doctors and lawyers. Yeah. You know, it's their second job. So that's a great second job to have.
Six figures? You're still getting six. And you were getting 16 games.
I know. But what that really speaks to is you're somebody, if you would want to be an official, what you're saying is I want to tell other people that they're wrong about stuff. So I want to be a buzzkill. Oh, was that a touchdown? Nope. I'm throwing a flag. See, now take that away.
You got 16, let's say 24 games, preseason including whatever. Depending on your crew, if y'all get graded pretty good, hopefully you'll get in the playoffs and the Super Bowl if your crew is that crew of the year. You can pay six figures for, let's say, 28.
Yeah, there are a lot of things I can do to make money. I don't have to lord the rules
you
over
get the
other 30, people.
30 tickets.
Weeks, 30 weeks out the year.
I'd be a good referee, too. But I just wouldn't have it in me. Because you know what? I'm a human being. And I want to see people do well. And I would have a hard time throwing a flag on people.
One day. You just got one day. You just working one day. Picture that. You work one day out of the week for 30 weeks. One day.
And the best part about it is they don't tell you where you go. You fly in Saturday night. They
is that
fly
true?
You in. They put you up in a hotel. No one knows where they're going because, again, you don't want people to get them
interesting.
So you don't know what games you're going, and then they fly. Everyone just gets a flight information Saturday.
When you walk out onto the field on game day, and you see the referee, Ed Hockley or whoever it is, do you say, like, oh, I like him. He's good, or is it irrelevant?
Nah, I won't mess with Ed.
Usually, they come and get taped. Yeah. Some of the guys come and get taped to the home team, and the guys that tape them, and I always be like, hey, give them that good rap. that good speed rap so he knows, you know, how to make them calls. Because there's going to be some iffy ones. And we're going to need those.
At the warm-ups. I go holler at the referees and warm-ups, ask you how your kids, your family, your wife doing. How was your summer? You know, are you ready for this football season, all that? Then for the TV commercials, make sure my trainer grabbed me this water bottle so I go down, run around to my refs. Be like, hey, man, I need some water.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
You give
points.
Drinks to the referees and no one calls foul on that? Like, hey, whoa.
No, everybody does it, though.
This is what they're going to tell me. I could have called you on that one, right? And I hit them with the yes, sir.
Is that right?
Or if it was bad and he called one on me, and I'd be like, hey, you know you got to get me back. And that's it. So it's a swap for a swap.
You telling all the secrets, man.
I love it. Well, you know, you could have taken it to the next level if you were still playing. You could just take from McDonald's an Egg McMuffin out and say, here, breakfast all day, sir. That would have been
That was some of the best food. Now that I'm working out now, I can't try it. But that was like the best day I ever had when we filmed.
A couple weeks ago when you ate all those Egg McMuffins.
Day
I had two hash browns.
I don't think you're supposed to eat seven of them. That was the problem.
It was like a joy of my day to eat
those. Breakfast all day is a joy for anybody. Let's take a look. Black Tie's telling me in my ear here, we have some video of Ike interacting with the referee.
Let's go, Ike.
So for our video consumers here, let's see.
Oh. Look at me.
Logan Mankins. Look at Ryan Clark there.
Get your hands off him.
Yeah.
Arguing.
Oh, that's my guy. That's my guy. That ref right there is my guy.
Glasses on him.
Yeah, he's my guy.
What's that official's name? I love that guy. Look at Ike there with.
Who's that yelling at you like that?
Bobby Ingram in Super Bowl 40.
Hey, tell him to get out your face, eh? Right?
It's a lot going on.
Here's MJD working the refs. Glad handing.
Well, he went to the same school that my brother-in-law went to, so he saw my brother-in-law and my sister at the airport and was like, oh, I met your family. I was like, oh, good, man. You know, come by. My grandma made some gumbo. You know what I'm saying? I got you.
He
was like, all right, cool. And see, this. I was like, hey, man, listen, they tripping. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Hey, they felt like because you was at their level, y'all had a relationship.
Yeah, that's good.
Height-wise.
Love me. Yeah, love me. That's what I told him, love me.
This could have just been you, referee. It didn't have to be me playing NFL football.
That
one ref put his arm around even MJD.
That's a young MJD.
That's young. Yeah, that's a young guy.
Boy, you know, listen, this is the thing, though.
That's why I told him, I said, man, you can't keep not making those calls, see? I'm going to jump on your back. And he did all that.
Very not looking at that.
Oh, that's your homeboy right there.
That's my dog. That's why we was shooting.
Yeah, you know how to ingratiate yourself to the referee.
My clips of refereeing, that wasn't no
that, that, that was wasn't good. Yeah, you was in there getting vicious.
Like, was that
what did Logan make to say to you?
I was this close for
no.
Really?
I got to walk away.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago. What is this business? I had no idea it was such an epidemic of pro football players spitting on each other.
And you were going to spit on him. He must have got you to that point.
Nah, he had some big, pretty teeth ain't like that at the time. So I was going to damage him.
You know, I've gotten into a couple scuffles. Bart Scott, to be honest. But it really, you know, like I never felt that I want to spit on you. But I've heard that. And then I like start to get tingles because I just like, I start checking me, making sure I didn't want me, you know?
One time, in Chicago, you know where all those Batman movies, The Dark Knight, when they're in those tunnels and the Joker's chasing Batman and everything. One time, that's Lower Wacker in downtown Chicago. Once in traffic, I merged in and some guy behind me went crazy, beeping, and I'm a smart aleck. So I start doing this and that with my hands at him and making jokes at him and crying at him in the rearview mirror and all that kind of stuff. Next thing I know, I look up in the rearview mirror. There's nobody in the driver's seat. And before I turn to my car door, he's already opened it and he gives me an air spit. He didn't actually spit in my face, but he in my face and I felt the wind. And I didn't know what to make of it. I've never been in a fist fight in my life, so I didn't know what am I supposed to fight now.
You gotta stop being a smart aleck if you're getting into a fight.
For one, you gotta
have your door locked.
No, your door gotta be locked for one.
I know, it should have been locked.
For two, you gotta grab one of his hands and mash the gas.
I was in traffic. I couldn't go anywhere.
Let this skin stay on the concrete. You're supposed to drive with him like he's... After he finished with you, he would never disrespect nobody.
Listen, this is the worst thing. I feel like I'd turn into Carrie and things would start to fly if someone spit on me. Like, what TV is you ever seen the movie Carrie?
Yeah.
Oh, but I'd just lose it. Just I try to pull my hair out, whatever little I have in my head, I just try to get
I'm not
tweezers.
Much of a man, though, am I? To allow that. But he didn't, but yeah, but it was air, so it's a little murky.
There's no such thing as air spit.
It came out of his mouth and went into your
but
face.
If it had been a real one, I think I would have then had to get out and take my beat.
No.
I would have just had, I mean, no, let me like, I know, I don't, get out. I don't have a chance, but just, I have to get out of
Disney. You have a car. Mash the gas and bring it with you.
Or put it in reverse and make sure you, his whole front end is just mushed in.
Yeah.
Then he's going to be screaming. Then you try to nudge him one
Hopefully time. He got flip-flops on and you skinned all his big toes up.
With Chicago in the winter. I don't think he had flip-flops on. All right.
Oh, that's even better.
That's right.
That's even better. You got to be thinking on the go. We got to get you in some situational classes. We got to put him in some situational classes.
You know what? I need that. You know what? We could all learn something from each other.
We actually need to film that.
Yeah, teaching Dave to be a man.
No, just situational classes. Like, what if classes?
Yeah, I like that. Let's do that. Let's work on that. All right, in the meantime, there was a lot of teammate-on-teammate stuff going on. The Packers had a scrum. Aaron Rodgers broke the iPad or whatever. He's throwing the iPad.
Microsoft.
We're seeing some of this. And, you know, you guys always say it. This is old news for football. It's the 21st century just has cameras everywhere, so now we're seeing it. But Julius Peppers and Clinton Dix...
He two-hand pushed him.
Nothing funny about that.
Yeah, he'd.
What about this? Not a big deal, you continue to say, right?
No, we just saw it last week with the Cowboys.
Yep.
You know what I'm
saying? I'm going to tell you why it's such a big deal now. There's more cameras on the sidelines than where there used to be. This used to happen all the time when I first got in the league. I remember my first game against the Cowboys, they had me block DeMarcus Ware. And I gave up a sack because it was my first game, my rookie year. And I'm blocking a guy who
is a monster.
A monster.
Yeah.
He's paid to rush the passer. I'm paid to not do that. That's not what I'm paid to. I don't block guys like that. And I came to the sideline, and Marcus Stroud grabbed me. And I tried to, but it was like, he looked at me. He said, listen, when they ask you to block him, you better do your damnedest to block him.
What did you do? You just let Ware go by you?
No, he beat me. Like, I tried to block him, but, I mean, he threw me out the way. It was tough. And the coach was like, that was our fault, because we shouldn't have put that in and had you block that guy. But he grabbed me by, like, here, and I had to tell him, like, don't... After he let me go, I was like, don't you ever grab me again like that.
But this is... But, I mean, obviously, Ike, that happens in Pittsburgh. I'm not taking this... No disrespect. I'm just saying, do you see this with successful teams, perennially successful teams?
Did you see Tom Brady go at it with Bill O'Brien?
I don't know. I do.
Remember that?
I think Dan Marino has shouted down his receivers. I've seen Peyton do it. I've seen Brady
Larry
do it
Foote
a little bit.
And Casey Hampton.
Hold on, wait. Before you start, what are you saying? Like, we wasn't successful or something, Jackson?
No, you were successful. I just mean...
Because the disc flew by me and it came back. It was like a boomerang. I was like... Is that what you were trying to say?
That was like an air spit did it.
It was almost. It was close.
Hey, Casey Hampton and Larry Foote, the best and the worst teammates in one game. Like, if something happened on the back end, man, Casey and Foote, Foote be like, he got a bad one. Like, what y'all doing back there? What you doing? That's why we losing. Y'all not good anyway. Like, Foote, chill out, man. You gonna bust that vein in your forehead? That's gonna come out. So, chill out.
Yeah, relax.
Chill out with that, Foote, man. You get me riled up for no reason. That's too much energy wasted. I need you to save that
when
energy.
When people are hot and you just tell them, settle down. That always works.
Or you talk to them in a calm voice.
That's how I be killing them. Casey Hampton. We telling Casey. Hey, Big Ham, just saying, they running the ball 4.5 a pop. So it's my fault? No, we're not saying it's your fault. We're just saying, man, they running the ball 4.5 a pop, and you just so happen to play D-tackle. So y'all saying it's my fault. Y'all really saying we ain't got 10 other people on this defense. You saying it's my fault. No, we're not saying it's your fault, Big Casey, but, man, we just let you know. Their running game is real decent right now. But, boy, let one of them balls get behind one of the secondary guys.
I can see that, too.
For the audio listeners, he is striking a stern pose, a silent stern pose in the direction of the secondary.
You know how you feel somebody looking at you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got beat on a ball in the game, you'll just see Casey Hampton just looking down the bench like.
Those are, you try to keep your head straight too, so you don't look at him.
I would think it would happen more. I'm surprised that you say that, although, you know, the Packers, that's D-line talking to DBs. Is that the more kind of regular situation? I would think it would be more, hey, offense, we're doing well. We're the D. You don't get into it like that.
As a unit, you got to handle your business, right? So defense, your job is to stop them.
Right.
Offensively, your job is to go out and make score points. Now, you know sometimes you're going to have a bad day, an off day here or there, but hey, it is what it is.
Look at this. Odell Beckham, then, he also got into it. He wasn't mad at a teammate. He was mad at the Gatorade.
You got to catch the ball.
Because that's his most valuable resources in them hands.
And that hair. Look at him. He tried to pull his hair out.
I can't. That's a temper tantrum. I like that. That's a temper tantrum.
You like the temper tantrum.
No question.
You know what I love?
That means he cares about the game.
Like, you know what? I agree with you. And I loved what Aaron Rodgers did. I make joke about him breaking the iPad. But Rodgers.
No, he didn't break it. They got rubber things on him.
But, I mean, either way, you could. I mean, it went on for 5 minutes moping on the sideline because he knows he just caught
the passion.
I love that.
That's the passion and the
there
care.
There he goes. Look. For the game.
But you see how we flipped the script? Yeah. We talk about Greg Harden, and he went and hit the whatchamacallit. He showed a different kind of passion.
Hey, TD, can y'all go get the Tom Brady, Billy O'Brien?
We'll work on that for next show.
Yeah.
For next show.
Tom Brady, Tom Brady's like, what'd you say to me? You know who I am? And then Bill O'Brien was like, I don't care who you are. I'm the offensive coordinator. And then Tom Brady was like, what's my name? And then he said, what's my name? In like a higher tone voice. And then Billy O'Brien was like, I ain't gonna say your name. And then he started.
Really? Literally say my name?
I don't know if he said that.
I like that move. Words.
Yeah, that's what you should say.
Yeah.
If you're Tom Brady.
I watch Breaking Bad. That's what the star Breaking Bad did too. Say my name.
What's my name?
Yeah, what's my name? All right, you know what? I feel like we need a lot of healing. So just in time, it is time for an impromptu edition of Dear Ikey. We're going to do a little something here. Ike Taylor, we've talked about it. You didn't have to tell me this. I could tell you that I could tell by talking to you. Ike Taylor for the Steelers was in the locker room. Guys would go to him, not just with their football questions, but their life questions. What do I do about this? Personal issues, stuff like that. So let's get to it. Black Tie says we have an intro. Let's see it. Part of our show, our imaginary show, Good Day Pigskin, and welcome to everybody's favorite segment there. Dear Ikey, where Dear Ikey takes your relationship questions. And this time around, we're going to go all pro football players. Like I say, there's some healing that needs to take place within the league. Let's start with one of our very favorites here, AJ Hawk. By the way, do you know, before we get to that, as a side note, we're in the month of November. The pie-off four here at the DDFP is coming up in just a couple weeks. I hope you guys are down to bring in a pie. Your pie is your ticket of admission. Otherwise, you don't get to taste everybody else's pie. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
What date is that?
I don't know what
date. I'm going to be in China.
Oh, yes, you're going to China.
I'll bring a pie for you.
Bro. Yeah, appreciate you.
So we got it. So you can bring a pie, but everybody's bringing a pie. Black Tie doesn't do it every year because he doesn't like pie for whatever reason, but MVP will be there.
But he loves the Seahawks.
Handsome Hank is a one-time champion. Your pal Dan Hanzus is a two-time champion.
Well, he made the pie?
Well, no, he has his ladies. He has the ladies Hanzus do it. But anyway, I want you to get a pie ready to go. For that one here. AJ Hawk, though, he won the Shecky Award for our favorite football playing guest in years past. He's won it twice. I don't mind telling you, you two are in hot contention for that.
Thank you.
We don't care about that.
You don't care about the award?
I just want to see the question he asked for my man.
Yeah, we just want to see the question.
Let's hear it. AJ Hawk.
Dear Ikey, should we go to my parents or the in-laws for the holidays this year?
It's a good question. That's a conundrum for all couples, you know.
It's really not, but go ahead.
Depending on the situation. So if you've been going, you just got to flop. You got to flop holidays. So if you go to the in-laws on Thanksgiving, the in-laws, or your girlfriend has to come on Christmas. So it's nothing but swapping holidays.
But I think most human beings feel that their Christmas experience is better than anybody else's. My family's Thanksgiving is better than yours. I don't want to hang out. That causes a lot of friction.
Can I jump in?
Sure, that's why I wanted to do this.
I've never done this before, but I feel like I have a great answer for this.
Yeah, this year, though, I'm going we're going to my mom for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And we're going to my wife's mom's, where she's coming down to us for Christmas.
Oh, I see. I think that's the trick. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's all when you get married or you have a significant other, it's all about sharing and giving away your feelings. You can't, mm-hmm. it can't be you. You have to give and take, right?
Yep.
And so for me, it's like, all right, how about everybody come to my house?
That's the trick. Get a big enough house and say, you all come to us now and celebrate all together. Then you don't have to do any travel, no anything.
If your house is not as big as MJD's, because he has a pretty big house, just swap out holidays. That's all.
No, even if you have a small house, you just all fit in there and get comfortable and get to know each other. Right? Tight areas. That's how you do it.
Once I get my NFL headset and I'm a coach in the big leagues, that's when I'll be making that big time
money.
You're
not coaching nobody's team.
Well, all right.
Dave Dameshek.
Next up, he sent his best when he was in here to you guys, by the way, Deshaun Goldson.
Oh, really?
What are some appropriate conversations on the first date?
Oh, that's a good question.
Appropriate conversations.
Oh, yeah. Appropriate.
I mean, you're married now. When's the last time you were even on a first date?
Oh, we still date? We have date night.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the thing. When you get married, you still got to keep the spark going.
I see.
So whatever you did to get to that situation, retrack and keep that situation going. So we have date nights all the time. But to answer Ghosting's question, man, get to know what she likes, like the little things. Colors, birthdays, hair, nails, what she likes to do in her downtime. Them five things on the first date. That's going to smooth the whole conversation out.
The first thing is colors. That's what matters. What's your favorite color is a good first date subject.
You sit down on a date and ask a woman what's her favorite color, or when is your birthday, or if you're going to get a pedi and a manicure, what color would you prefer? Or what do you like to do on your downtime?
Yeah.
Them questions guys don't normally ask. That's true. Girl questions. Like, girls know girls, you know, like, oh, and man, her favorite color is black, so I know for her birthday I'm going to give her a black so-and-so.
Hmm.
That's usually coming from another female. But when a guy knows what a girl wants and asks the girl's question, it's like...
That's why we do this segment, MJD.
It's the opposite of Steve Harvey.
It's like...
He ain't snitching. He's uplifting.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on this? Appropriate conversation for a first date, MJD.
You know what? I tend to try to figure out as much about them and their family as possible. That's what I do with
their
my
family.
Wife. Yeah, because you want to let her know, like, I'm in this for the long haul. I mean, this could be a possibly a thing where we could be in this for the long haul. And I want to get to know, like, your likes, dislikes, favorite color, you know.
Again, with the favorite color. Who cares what their favorite color is?
You got to care.
Because on the birthday, okay, for example, for my wife, you're going to get me in trouble.
I got it. For my wife, hers is blue.
That's what I was going to say. Mine was blue, I think. I don't remember. It's a long time ago.
I know what my kids' blue. Favorite colors are.
My son, he has a few favorite colors. My wife is blue. Mm-hmm. Her birthday is in February. I don't want to give the date out. February,
I think that's very sweet from both of you. My friend David Feeney suggests
favorite holiday is Valentine. Like, second favorite holiday is Christmas.
What's the worst holiday?
She's not big on July 4th.
Why? You know, doesn't love America.
She does. She's just not that big into.
I don't like Labor Day. That's a trick by the man. You know, Labor Day. It's right in there. It's work.
Yeah.
Right after Labor Day, what happens? Back to school. Oh, that's a trick by the man. Oh, I'm gonna give you a day off. Aren't I great? Oh, back to work. You know, don't buy in. I don't celebrate. I work every Labor Day out of spite. I'm not gonna be duped. I'm not a sucker.
I'm going to tell you about relationships.
You felt some kind of way about
that. I don't like the man. Tell. You know, I'm always raging against the machine. I can tell. Know that.
I have allergies.
Just really don't air spit on me.
Really bad allergies that don't air spit. My wife's outdoorsy, so every now and then I sacrifice the allergies and sneeze and get bloody noses and my eyes get all swollen so that she can enjoy herself.
Yeah.
Those things go a long way.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun being with somebody sneezing and coughing on you all the time.
It's not about you.
I get you. Hey, but my friend suggests this, and it works gangbusters. And I suggest this to all the young listeners out there. Fellas, this is the move. I think this really can't fail. You go out to a restaurant, first date. When the waiter comes over to take the order, oh, should we get an appetizer? Do you like it? Oh, yeah, I don't know, some calamari mayo or maybe a salad. You know what, waiter? The wheel. give us every appetizer on the menu. That says that you live. That says that you're not just surviving. That says that you're living. You're saying, whatever, I have a joie de vivre. I live. Whatever we want, just take a bite. You don't have to eat it all. Just take a bite, just to sample everything.
So you got a football baby, right?
Yes.
And he's a he.
Yes.
So this is what I do with my son. Like, so when we go out to restaurants, I'll pull the chair out for her. And we both stand up. And until she sits down, that's when we sit down. That's called proper etiquette.
It is.
Yeah, you got to have that for the woman.
I love that. My parents, anybody would come to our table at any point, I had to stand up and, oh, no, sit down. No, you stay standing.
I'm pulling it out for my wife and putting it under. But that's for really any woman. You have to be rare these days, and small things are rare.
That,
hey, good morning, it's small things. Good morning. How was your day?
Oh, that's always a good one.
And good evening or good night. Them four things right there, just talking to her over the phone.
MVP, you're swooning. These are great ideas, aren't they?
Absolutely. Seem to have it down.
What's your favorite color?
Yellow.
Oh, gotta remember that.
Now you know.
You gotta remember that.
When it's her birthday, it's yellow balloons.
Yeah, you gotta yellow her out.
You have to do the, what's the sunflower? You gotta get like a little... See, you show your
you
know what time it is.
I once started dating a girl, and she told me what her favorite restaurant was when we first, on our first date.
It's a setup.
And then a month later, she had to work late, so I went to that restaurant, picked up the food she liked, and delivered it to her. She went wild for it, you know?
It's just the little things in life,
That's G.
You know what happens is, the thing is with me, Ike and MJD, is I'm the love skunk. What happens with women is, see, I have my relationships with them, whatever. And then when it fails, you know, invariably.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it's not a matter of
your fault.
Scoreboard. Things don't work out sometimes in life.
Not compatible.
2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, maybe a decade later, the woman she's taken, the love skunk put his stink on her, but then she gets the tomato juice bath, she gets the industrial soap, she washes herself real good, she moves on with her life. Like I say, could be years later, all of a sudden... What is, I still got the stink of Damashek on me. They can't wash it off. Once it gets on, you
like
can't get
Pepe
rid of it.
Le Pew.
That's right.
Pepe
Le Pew.
That's your nickname.
He was the greatest. He was the love skunk.
Yeah. Your nickname
is
Pepe.
I like that. Look at you.
Last one from one of our favorite guys in the league as well, Gerald McCoy of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, he's pretty good. Okay, yeah. Ike, I got a question for you. If you're an extremely creative guy, and you've come up with some of the most creative things to get your wife, and to not just the gift itself is creative, but how to give it to her is creative. How do you get those creative juices flowing, and how do you stay fresh and always creative with your wife? Oh man, that's a good one.
He's a great guy.
That's a great one to end on.
You know what else he loves? He loves superheroes.
I'm a superhero guy too.
I know you are. Yeah.
So on a birthday. Instead of going out and getting a card, you make a card.
Mm.
You make your own card. Right. So what's that telling her is you put thought, time effort. And effort. So this was no fly-by-night, oh, it's my wife's birthday. Let me have him go to Walgreens, such and such, and Hallmark and get a card. It's, now let me sit down. Let me make a card. Let me go to Walgreens and get what I need to make this card. Let me share my thoughts on a sheet of paper. So when y'all do go to dinner on her birthday, you present her your own card. And there you go.
I'm not going to lie to you.
You want to date Ike Taylor. You want to get married.
That would be a phenomenal.
It's legal.
No, I'm cool. I got
we don't go that route.
Yeah, I'm good.
We don't go that route.
But for my wife's birthday, she's real simple. We go to Vegas. And yeah, I'm not a show guy, Ike. You know that.
I'm laid back.
I do my thing, you know. But what she likes to do. And I've kind of come, just kind of succeed, or just given into it, is we go to bed like at 9:30 at night. We'll go to a show, or we'll get there, we'll gamble, go to a dinner, go to a show, go to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then she likes to get up and gamble at like 5 in the morning when no one's there.
That's
like our routine. We have like a set thing that we do every year on her birthday. And it's awesome. Then like my aunt and uncle will come, or some of her friends will come. But we have a routine that we do. And it's something that it's just like, if you set a routine and you're good with it, that's awesome. And then you can do the surprises and things mm-hmm. like that. But set a routine. Because as you get older, it's like, all right, I don't got enough energy to be out here dibbling, dabbling, fighting people for this restaurant. Like, let's get a set.
I find these insights rare, and I think they're sincerely very sweet. I think it's very nice on both your
He's
parts.
The man.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's no wonder. But one more question for you, Ike, is the question that occurred to me is, with, you know, you played pro football, you made a good amount of loot. Do people in the family and friends, do they have a crazy expectation? Like, wait, you should get me more than that because you got a lot of money.
It's a no from the get-go. Like, you got to plant that seed early. If not...
Wait, you didn't get me a 50-inch flat screen? Whoa, come on, man.
Yeah. It's and I'm like, man, I got a family. So now you're taking food off my family table. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So... I done did everything I needed to do. I have a family, my wife and my son, they're depending on me financially, and I gotta provide. So, good day.
I love it. Yes, go ahead, Black Tie.
Well, we heard a story about Allen Iverson back in his day, how he had about 20 to 25 people on his payroll on a monthly basis. So have you guys ever come across NFL players just like that?
Yeah, I mean, you come across players, but heck, y'all had a quarterback who invested in the day. I ain't going to say his name. Yeah, but
Mark Brunell lost a lot of money in investments.
A lot. So it ain't really got to be with people on payroll.
I mean,
this is what I like about my financial advisor. He's like, you get... We get this money, and all of a sudden, we get smart. And we have all these great ideas and great inventions, and people pretty much can sell us a dream, and we'll buy into it. Nah, save it. Like, you worked your butt off since you were small, but you worked your butt off laboring, like doing football. So don't all of a sudden become this genius with an idea, blow all your money because you think you can make more money. You have a lot of money.
I bet that's awfully seductive, though. I can see that. Well, I made it, so therefore I can succeed however I want. You would get...
I had a set number that I needed to get to retire. Once I hit that set number, I was straight. I asked my guy, I said, Matt, am I good? He said, you're good. And I was good.
I have a goal, and based on my latest projections, I'm going to get there when I'm 327 years old. When I hit my retirement.
We can make it pop early. It's gonna take a couple of years, but we can make it happen.
I agree. Maurice Jones-Drew and Ike Taylor are gonna make that happen real fast, only because I promised it in Black Tie saying, gotta wrap, but we gotta get... We said we were gonna do the Final Four predictions, Black Tie. We gotta do it. Can't let the audience down once we promise
it. But a couple of things. We did Final Four predictions last episode.
I don't care. We're gonna do it every week.
Great place to end the episode. I just signing off on the right note. That's all.
I thought this was wonderful, but I do want to talk about football, and we're gonna do it every week. I'd like to update the Final Four predictions, just like they do in college football.
I thought this was your show, the DDFP.
I know. Well, no, and it's apparently the Black Tie show.
Debatable.
Now. Do what Black Tie says or else kind of show.
He says debatable.
By the way, Black
Patriots,
Tie beat you.
Patriots
and Bengals. That's mine. I have the Bengals
Carolina
at the Patriots.
And Arizona.
No.
You took mine exactly. I guess that's not that big a reach either way. Those are the
I got
the
Carolina and Seattle.
At Seattle?
No, at... At
Carolina. Ooh, that would be a dandy. Yeah. That would be a good one.
Because don't forget, they're on the bye. They'll be back. Seattle, I'm talking about.
Well, like we were talking about on Sunday, Seattle had a great day sitting there on their bye on Sunday because the losses by the Rams helped them out, and the loss by... who's the other key? Oh, Atlanta helps them. They fall back a little bit, and there was another... loss out there that I, for some reason, is eluding me. But and the Saints loss, who could have gotten to 5-4.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, the Seahawks really, their lot improved quite a bit. It's not going to be crazy if the Seattle gets there.
I'm throwing it out there. I could be totally wrong, but the Patriots and the Bills.
The Bills!
He's going on a reach here.
You know what? The Bills seem like a great pick, but I've gone through all the schedules remaining, and the Bills have to play the Jets twice still. They have to play at the Patriots. They have to play at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not dead. As bad as they were for a while there.
I got the Chiefs upsetting, not upsetting, but I got them beating the Denver Broncos.
Yep. If they do that and get to 4-5, I mean, they're right in it. And they have the head-to-head against Pittsburgh. They still have a game against Oakland. Will Oakland, who's going to get those wild cards while we're doing it? It's funny. We had the exact same Final Four.
I think Oakland finds a way in just because Pittsburgh's schedule is pretty tough.
It's rugged. The Steelers are not going to get to double-digit wins. They may get to 9. They have to play at Cincy, at Seattle. I'll tell you what they better not do is lose to Cleveland at home this week. They got to have this one to get to 6-4.
They
need to have it.
They can't lose to the Cleveland Browns, but
they got to beat them twice, in fact, and they need that one at Baltimore.
This is not going to be a slouch game at all.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because their record is 2-7, the Cleveland
Browns. Oh, it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, it's going to be a game.
Thank Joey Porter.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a game. So, man, I'm telling you, man, but the Buffalo Bills, man, like,
I think they're for real. They've got such a bad schedule coming.
They run the ball and they can play defense. That's all you got to do in the playoffs.
Well, the Jets look quietly,
their defense has been, Buffalo defense has been picking up.
If they can get everybody, I know you're not going to ever get everybody healthy, but, you know, they need some of those health. Kyle Williams is out. That's a bad place to start. Last thing, and then we will wrap it up, Black Tie. What do you think about Rex Ryan naming IK Enikpali as the team captain?
He does it every week, though, I thought, right? If he has a guy and you play on a certain team, you're the co-captain. Just so happens.
Everybody likes to make the joke that, hey, he did IK did the Jets a favor because he knocked out Geno, which is a dark joke. But, you know, it did change the course of the season.
But it's true.
I just think that's funny. That kind of like WWE kind of stuff to send the villain who we cut out there to glad hand with your
captain. You want to talk about a coach who has fun?
Yeah.
That's Rex Ryan.
That's like, one.
He has fun with the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's another one that don't let the outside dictate on his thoughts on what he need to do.
Well, I love it. And I'm loving being presented by McDonald's and doing this show with you guys every week. I agree. We're going to make it big. That's where we're headed. Headed to the big time, to the top of the mountain. 2 years?
2 years. All right. Give us.
Maybe we can be like the 2015 Oakland Raiders and get ahead of schedule.
2 years. No, 2 years. We got to be patient.
All right.
2 years. You've been patient long enough. You just got to give us time.
All right.
We're on our way.
Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, two of the very best in the business and delights as well. Heed their relationship advice. It can only help you with the ladies out there, everybody.
What is your favorite color?
Oh, yeah, we got to. What's that? What'd you say?
What is your favorite color? He was just going off if he was going on the first date.
And now, as we depart you, I'm going to do a dry spit. Ready? Here we go.
No,
one,
you better not.
Two.
Find out more on the next DDFP.